Clap on three. One, two, three.
Make it clap. Make it clap on three. One, two.
Make a clap, 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 clap. Bah. Okay. I will start.
Stop laughing. This is erotic.
I'm on a new medication and I think it's making me hallucinate.
I would have been a Ted Bundy victim.
Yeah. I had no idea that so many people out there felt the same way I did. Now I want a pina colada.
An acquired taste.
Hello, this is an Acquired Taste podcast. I'm Kathleen Haney. Your sandwiches are my favorite food. Do other people sand their walls before they paint? I got good and drunk this weekend, and it was so much fun.
And I'm Bethany Watson, your clothes-selling, hairdryer burning out. I can't wait for Zack Snyder's Army of the Dead, friend.
And every week, Bethany and I meet up to discuss our lives, what's weird in the world, and we invite you to join us. This week, we're talking about...
It's the summertime coming up soon, which means the beach, which means the ocean. So, Kathleen, I am telling you about all the reasons that the ocean could kill you, specifically the animals.
Bethany, don't do this to me. I actually enjoy swimming in the ocean.
You won't after I'm done with you, I promise. There's things down there that are true monsters, and they're going to come up and they're going to kill you by grabbing your ankle and pulling you down.
Underwater spiders.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yep. 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 What about you, Kathleen? What are you talking about?
And I am talking about ways to feel more comfortable in your swimsuit.
Awesome.
Yes.
Awesome. When I knew that this was your topic, I was confused because I was like, well, either you love your body or you hate your body. Like, how can you just feel better?
At the top of my page where I took my notes, it says how to be more confident in a bathing suit and stop giving a crap about what other people think. So
God bless. I'm so excited. I'm excited to hear and take notes. Copious notes.
So I have to tell you.
Yes.
I met up with some taste buds this weekend. There was a huge taste bud meetup in New York City on Saturday.
Awesome.
And Sunday. And I did a small preview meetup with some taste buds on Friday.
Okay. How was it? Who were they?
Here in Hoboken, Rose and Brianne and Sylvia. Bethany, I got good and drunk. Like, do you remember the last time you went out in public drinking and just laughed until your face hurt and just got absolutely smashed?
I don't. I'm racking my brain. I think if it's been at least 2 years. I can tell you that for sure.
And I don't want to make it a habit because too much of a good thing. But I cracked a toenail. I have bruises on my arms and my legs. I have a scab on my elbow.
How? Did you fall down?
Holding a liter of beer and using my elbow as the torque to get it to my mouth.
Were you drinking out of a boot?
I was drinking out of, we were at a beer garden. It was like a huge, anyway, it just felt good to act like life was kind of normal again. Yeah. And our taste buds are wonderful, amazing people.
And those three that you were hanging out with, those are the three. If you're hanging out with Rose, Brianne, and Sylvia, mm-hmm. one of you is going to get arrested for a really fun reason.
It's going to be Sylvia.
It's going to be Sylvia.
What did you do this weekend?
We rented a car and we drove upstate just for the day.
Yeah.
And it was so nice to get out of the city, to be around fresh air. We played 70s music and rolled the windows down and drove. And we went to these little independent bookstores. And like each bookstore that we went to had an animal that lived there. There was like a cat. There was a dog named Greta at one of them. There was a cat named Libby.
Like, when you walk into a store and there's a store animal, you know that is a quality store and good people own that store.
Exactly. It's wonderful. And the first store we went to, the guy who owns it is like, have you been here before? And we said, no. And he was like, well, then here's the quick spiel. He gave us a quick tour and he's like, and then he basically said, do you have any problems with cats? If not, you're welcome to stay. And it was great. It was wonderful. So I got an Agatha Christie novel from the 40s. Just such a good day. We went to a kind of abandoned city and we just took pictures of these old buildings that are beautiful.
You know, you could like take up in a house there. Squatters have rights, you know, that could be your weekend.
Squatters pied-a-terre. I know my pied-a-terre is a big abandoned mansion. And it's interesting because there's a diner that's abandoned. There's like, it looked like kind of like a pizza place, kids center kind of place that's abandoned.
It's like Walking Dead. Dead.
It is like The Walking Dead, and it's fascinating, but also kind of sad, because I was telling Dennis, like, these places were someone's dream, and now, you know, what happened, and it's sad to see them just isolated, but it's also really interesting to see what happens when a man-made structure is left completely alone.
Yeah.
And there's an odd kind of beauty in it.
And until it crumbles to the ground.
Until it crumbles. But even then, it's like, you know, it's like the area around Chernobyl where just the world has taken, nature has taken back over, and just to see what happens if you follow like abandoned accounts on Instagram. So it was beautiful.
I love that phrase, an odd kind of beauty.
If you're legally allowed to go and just sort of walk around and be respectful, there's some peace to it, you know? What did you do this weekend besides get drunk in public?
I sanded my walls in preparation to paint today.
Smart lady, you should always sand your walls before you paint.
Yeah, I figured since it's my forever home, I might as well do it upright.
Yeah.
And I sanded my ceiling, and then I vacuumed everything, and then I Swiffered everything, then I wiped everything down with cleaner, and oh my God, I got the best workout this weekend, like just doing prep for painting.
Prep for painting should just be the new like CrossFit. Is it's just getting people's walls ready to paint. Because once you get to the point of painting, you're almost done.
You're basically done. Like you've, and I got that, that's for the first time ever because I'm really worried about protecting my floors. I got that paper from the hardware store that you roll out and then you can tape to the floor.
Yeah, Kathleen, you're doing this well. You're doing it right.
You know, this should be, Pinterest should do a workout channel.
It's just taping and sanding and... It's insane. It's so much work. Can we talk about Army of the Dead for a second?
Yes.
Okay.
Is it a movie coming out?
It is a motion picture that is coming out. It is coming out this weekend. And it's... I asked Kathleen, I asked you before we started recording if you knew anything about it.
Well, yes. And I said, I like military movies and I like zombie movies.
And I was like, I'm impressed you know so much about it. And you were...
It's like, Bethany, it's in the title. It's called Army of the Dead.
It's like, oh, okay. Context clues. God bless. So I've been looking forward to this movie because it originally, there's a helicopter pilot in it, like this badass helicopter pilot.
Okay.
And the role was originally played by Chris D'Elia, the comic.
Okay.
And he shot everything. It was like, great. He apparently did a really good job. But then he was accused by multiple women of being inappropriate with them when they were underage. Okay. So he was dropped by his agency. And all of this is alleged, obviously.
Yeah.
But so Zack Snyder, the director, asked Tig Notaro, the comic, if she would come in and do his role, do Chris D'Elia's role. Ooh. And so what I thought had happened was that I just assumed they did reshoots. And I was like, God, that had to have been extensive reshoots in Las Vegas against an army of zombies.
Reshooting something is much like writing a book and deleting pages by accident or recording a podcast and it stops recording and you don't realize.
Yes, because then you also have to make sure it matches the rest of the movie. You have to go back to the locations or rebuild everything.
Continuity.
You know, and like total continuity. So it turns out what they actually did was they put Tig Notaro on a green screen and she recorded all of her scenes alone.
That's talent.
It's amazing. She apparently killed it. I cannot wait to see it. Wow. So that's one of the reasons I'm so excited to see this is because you know I love behind the scenes porn in terms of like movie magic.
Oh, yeah, you get off on that, baby.
I want to hear how you did a one shot. I want to hear how many cameras were involved. I want to hear how many camera people had to learn the choreography so you can all do this and watch. So to hear that she did this all alone on a green screen, they matched it beautifully. It looks so good. I cannot wait to see this movie. And I just think that Tig Notaro is like a badass and she's so great. So
is it coming out in theaters?
No. So, well, yes, but it came out last week or a few days ago as we record this in theaters, and then it's on Netflix.
Good.
As its premiere.
Good, because I don't want to go to movie theaters anymore. Sorry, not sorry.
I had a conversation this weekend about it. Why don't you want to go to movie theaters anymore?
Because when I watch movies from the comfort of my own home, I can pause, I can go to the bathroom, I can eat dinner without making the whole movie theater stink like, you know, chicken chow mein.
Yeah.
Neil, my husband, is really into surround sound and good TV. So we have a really nice TV and a good setup. And it's just, I just like being home. I don't have to shower. I can wear no underwear if I want, you know.
Yeah, totally. I'm with you. My thing is not to be like a total downer, but here we are. I feel safe moving about my life in the age of like active shooters. Mm. I feel safe. However, movie theaters for some reason are the one place I still don't feel safe.
You're very vulnerable there.
Yeah. And I think it's just because you're in a very enclosed room and it's dark mm-hmm. and, you know, you can't really see well and there's not a lot of exits.
Yeah. I wonder what this means for the movie industry, because like Warner Brothers, who owns HBO Max, they've been releasing movies on their streaming service, and Disney Plus is doing this whole yeah. thing where you can pay, I don't know, it's like $20 or $30 to watch the movie at home on the same day that it comes out in the theaters.
Yeah. I read an article in the Wall Street Journal that said that movie theaters will have a shortage of movies for about 3 years because of the pandemic. And so they're doing, that's why you see deals like with movies like Army of the Dead,
yeah.
where they'll release it in theaters a week before it's released on streaming services to try and give these theaters like something to show, because there's just not as much work has been done.
It sucks, but like industries change. And I know there are a lot of movie purists out there that love the whole experience of going into a theater, getting mm-hmm. the popcorn, being like feeding off the energy of people around them. But I think that movie theaters are going to slowly shut down and it'll be more of like a novelty outing instead of like something that you used to do every weekend.
I think you're right. I think movie theaters are going to yeah. end up being the way that drive-in movie theaters were for us, which is there's a few that are around, but they're more of an old-timey thing you do than where you actually go to get your movies.
I bet the smart TV industry is booming right now.
Yeah, sure is. Sure is.
Smart TVs can do anything. They can make you breakfast if you want.
They're listening right now.
And they know your music preferences. They know what you like to watch on YouTube. And they know what you like to watch on Netflix.
Oh, makes me scared. I don't like that they know what I like to watch on YouTube. Kathleen, I have not made my feelings about the ocean a secret. I think it is a terrifying, awful place to go and that it's not safe for anyone.
No, it's a fun place to spend the day with your family. What are you talking about?
I'm talking about ways that the ocean is going to murder you and your whole family.
Okay.
I'm going to go through... Now,
I know. Deep breaths. I know. You're scared of the unknown. I get it. Most of us are.
And the unknown mostly exists in the ocean is the problem. So if you have a fear of like outer space and you're one of those people going, I would never go to Mars because we won't come back. Well, guess what? Ocean.
Ocean is much more vast than Mars.
Mm-hmm. And we mm-hmm. have not explored the majority of the ocean. So we've explored like... But over 80% of the ocean is unexplored. 80%. So when I describe the animals I'm about to describe to you, Kathleen, imagine how many more there are.
80% of the ocean has been unexplored by humans.
Unexplored by humans. It's...
That is a shocking number.
It is. It's startling because we live here.
I know.
You know, it's sort of like when you live in a mansion and you have so many rooms and you just haven't bothered to go into them yet. Like, how dare we? But that we can't get to them.
Exactly like that.
Okay. So, gentle listener, this is going to be sort of visual heavy, but I'm going to describe these animals to you. And then I think we'll also put them on Instagram. We'll do like a little photo gallery and put them on Instagram so you can like swipe through. So let's talk about the ocean. The deepest point in the ocean of all of the oceans is in the Pacific Ocean in the Mariana Trench. Okay.
Okay.
The Mariana Trench spans more than 1,500 miles and then... The lowest point is called the Challenger Deep section. That ocean floor sits more than 36,000 feet below sea level.
Yeah.
So it's like if you climbed to the top of Mount Everest, added another 7,000 feet above that, and then sunk that hole deep down to the bottom of the ocean and made that like the cavern.
And then inverted it.
Yeah, exactly.
I do have to say the Challenger Deep... It sounds like a super duper vibrator. And if that, I'm going to Google that after we're done with this podcast. And if it hasn't yet been invented or named, that is the next item that we're selling in our shop.
It's the kind that your best friend tells you about that like you never hear about, but it's that one kind of like adventurous best friend who's like,
get your hands on the Challenger Deep.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's like that vibrator that punches your clitoris, the one that goes. Okay. So scientists have yet to garner more information about the animals living in that section of the ocean floor, other than the fact that we know there are sea cucumbers there. But like anything else that's so far down in the Challenger Deep section of the vibrator, I mean the ocean, we just don't we don't know a ton about them.
Sea cucumber. I don't even, what's a sea cucumber?
I think it looks this visual, look, I didn't look into that one.
Okay, I looked, it does. It looks like a cucumber that lives under the sea.
Is it cute?
It looks like a, I mean, are cucumbers cute? I don't know. They're bumpy and they're delicious, but it looks like a calcified penis.
Does it look like one of those tubes? Remember those tubes growing up that they would like fall in on themselves? They were like filled with kind of a jelly and you could never get a hold on them because they would like bloop 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 out of your hands because they were like a donut in the middle but like a long one.
Yes, I know what you mean. Yeah, no, not quite like that. It looks like a calcified, it look, yeah,
okay,
crazy, but crazy. Sea cucumbers, got it.
All right, well, speaking of cute,
yes,
Kathleen, please Google Dumbo octopus.
Oh god,
these animals are cute as hell, and this is the cutest it's going to get, friends. It's all downhill from here. The Dumbo octopus, it's about 6 miles under the sea in the Mariana Trench.
Yeah.
And it's only 8 to 12 inches long. So it's
it's adorable.
A foot at the most. What can you describe the Dumbo octopus, Kathleen?
The Dumbo octopus is, it doesn't have tentacles per se. It's sort of like webbed tentacles. So you don't have these like long spindly things. And it comes in all these really cute colors like canary yellow and tangerine and slate blue, and has these big eyes and these little ears. It looks like almost cat ears, like rounded cat ears on an octopus. And then it has this little nose thing, which is sort of looks like a little belly button in the middle of its face. Have you ever seen the movie Ponyo, the anime?
No. No.
Yeah, it looks like Ponyo. Ponyo.
Oh, cute.
Yeah, the anime. Yeah.
Yeah, they're really cute. Their tentacles look like if you took ribbon and then used the scissor to coil the ribbon.
Yeah.
You know, like all the tentacles are like up in its body and it has, it flaps through the ocean by flapping its ears. That's how it propels itself.
It's so cute. Yeah.
Yeah, it's darling. Unless you are smaller than it, in which case it's a predator that will swallow you whole.
This doesn't look like the type of octopus that would punch you, because we know infamously octopi punch
octopuses.
People. Octopussies.
Yeah, they punch. Sometimes they just punch fish in the face and we don't know why.
Nope.
Okay. Now, Kathleen, have you seen the movie Finding Nemo?
I have, yeah.
Yeah. Do you remember that fish that had a light bulb on the front of its head and it was you, and it was like big and scary and they were like, ah, and they were like, what's that light? And then they turn around and it's this giant. Okay. That's a real fish.
What?
That actually exists.
No.
That fish is called the Black Sea Devil, also known as the Sea Devil Angler Fish.
Anything with the name devil in it is not good. That's your first warning. Black Sea Devil. I'm looking this up.
The most iconic thing about this fish is it has this luminous antenna-like muscle that comes out of the top of its head, and it looks like a light bulb. That light attracts its prey. The prey is like, ooh, what's that light?
What's that light? Do-do-do-do-do, something shiny.
And it's a black fish. It has a hinged mouth with giant, pointy, disproportionately long razor teeth that come out.
Yeah.
And it's like a squat, fat, awful, gnarly fish with a light bulb. And the worst part about it is that the sex that it has is basically the male fuses into the female and lives off of her resources, essentially becoming a parasite until it can produce sperm.
So it's a no good boyfriend.
Yeah, it's like you're just a lady sea devil, you know, minding your own business, floating around, swimming through the ocean, and all of a sudden a dude just latches onto you and is like, I'm here now until you're pregnant.
So what I have to say is that, yes, this is truly terrifying. The underbite of this fish could swallow you whole.
Yeah.
This fish looks like the slackers in high school who would stand on the corner across the street from the high school smoking because you couldn't smoke on school property. And they would always like if you walked by, they would say something nasty to you.
Yeah.
And this light attached to the front of its face looks like a piercing. It looks like the like a barbell through someone's nose.
Totally. Like totally. This fish looks like it peaked in like its sophomore year of high school.
This fish is a 20-year-old senior in high
school. Yeah. Totally. Totally. This fish is like the 50-year-old dude at the club being like, hey, ladies.
Hey. And you're like, come on.
Dude, you're my dad's age.
You're my dad's age, yeah.
Let's move on. This is the kind of thing now where if you're stuck at the bottom of the ocean and you're like, I'm just looking for a friend, you're going to think this thing is really cute and then it's going to be bad news for you. This is called the ping pong tree sponge.
Who names these things?
I know. I don't know. But it looks like a skinny tree stalk that is literally growing ping pongs out of the top of it, ping pong balls.
And this is in the Mariana Trench?
I don't know if this one's in the Mariana Trench, but this is in the ocean, the deep ocean.
You know, one thing that comforts my heart is that these things are probably not going to float up to the surface when I'm enjoying a sunny, hot day at the Jersey Shore.
Except sometimes they do.
No.
Ding. Yep. So these ping pong tree sponges, all of the little ping pong balls are dotted with little hooks, like tiny hooks. So if you come into contact with it, you get trapped and then the sponge slowly devours you while you're still alive.
Are you kidding
nature.
Me?
Nope. Nature. It's awful.
It's like, yes, all these little, it looks like it might be a fun candy, ping pong tree sponge.
It looks super friendly. It looks like nature from Candyland. It looks like some sort of form of nature.
Yeah. It looks like gummy candy.
Yep.
Like on a stick.
Yeah, until you touch it and it fucking kills you.
The ping pong tree sponge. I would love to be the scientist. These scientists probably have so much fun naming this stuff that they find. Just like people who work at the nail polish factory get to name those colors.
Oh, yeah. I like British red coats was the color lipstick that they used to use to paint strawberries for commercials to make them more red.
Ooh.
Okay, let's move on.
Okay.
This one's a shark.
Okay.
But not just any shark. It's a shark that looks like an eel.
Ugh.
It's called the frilled shark. This lives at least 3 miles down under the ocean or under the surface of the ocean. Most sharks have, I don't know, like 5 frilled gills. This one has 6 or 7. So it looks like it's wearing kind of a pashmina scarf.
No.
But the biggest issue here is not only does it look like an eel, but it looks like it has a bunch of like clusters of feathers around its lips.
Yeah.
But they're not feathers. They're over 300 teeth. So they look like feathers because there are so many teeth clustered together that they look puffy and like feathery and small, but no, they're crunchy, teethy clusters of teeth.
This is... I'm starting to hyperventilate. A frilled shark with an open mouth. I'm looking at pictures on Google Images right now.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like, it looks like a soft cloth that I might wipe up dust with.
Yeah.
But then when
yeah.
you look closer, the clusters of teeth are absolutely terrifying.
Yeah, it's awful. It's like if you buy a microfiber cloth, like a white one, take it out of the packaging, unfold it, and it's just teeth.
Just teeth. Tiny little sharp razor teeth. And they're shaped sort of like a fishing hook where it's designed to like get stuck in the prey and then the prey can't leave. Like when you back up over, you know, those spikes, your back tires get punctured.
Yeah. Have fun wakeboarding in the ocean. I hope something doesn't latch onto your foot with 300 teeth.
But it's 3 miles under the sea. 3 miles.
Who knows that it's not going to just decide to come up? Who knows it doesn't have some sort of rabies where it stops acting normal and starts acting real?
You're right. I recently heard that they found a mahi-mahi off the coast of Maryland.
Everything's going bonkers, Kathleen, because the earth is getting warmer. The animals are coming up and eating your foot.
No, you're not incorrect about that.
All right. Let's talk about black swallowers. These animals look like regular fish, except they can eat animals so large that the animal takes time decomposing inside the fish. These fish can eat something so big that their belly distends and they look like they're massively pregnant, but inside is just, I don't know, your friend Ted.
It's just like the competitive eater who participate in the Nathan's hot dog contests.
Absolutely it is.
So yeah, it looks like a regular fish, like a fish you would find in a lake or whatever.
Yeah.
And then a huge semi-opaque stomach with just random shit inside of it.
Yeah. It's awful. It's a nightmare. It could eat your aunt.
Where does this live?
I don't know. Hold on. Let's look. I saw black swallower. I looked at what it does and then I ran away.
I am looking at it now and it looks like it has a complete squid inside of its stomach.
Yeah. It can like, it can eat things whole. Where does it go?
And it's only 10 inches long, but it can eat stuff that's twice its size. No, 10 times its mass.
Ugh. The black swallower is found in tropical and subtropical waters in the North and Southwestern Atlantic Ocean. Have fun, Atlantic Ocean swimmers.
Have you ever been on like a boat where they jump off and they give you a bunch of flippers and some snorkels and they're like, have fun in the Caribbean?
I have. I did it before I learned any of this stuff.
And I always have to stay close to other people because I'm afraid if I go off on my own, like if I'm just the one teetering on the edge of the group, mm-hmm. I'm for sure a goner.
Yeah, you're the slow gazelle. You're the weak one of the group. Yeah, no, absolutely. You always have to be at least the second weakest.
Yeah.
Because if you're the second weakest, you're still safe.
And it's always good to keep a little chum in your pocket and throw it towards, you know, some of the people on board when you have to do a quick getaway.
Yeah, if there's one person on your group trip that sucks, cover them in chum. Just rub them down in chum.
Once I was on a cruise and I was in when I was in college and we went on, you know, you do like these excursions and we went on this boat and the boat was like, oh, come for beers and snorkeling. And then we're going to take you to this island and we're driving up to this island. And the captain of the boat is like, this island has special mud. It's purifying mud. And I'm like watching all these people on this island with this mud and they're putting it on their bodies. And I was like, oh, that's weird. Everybody's got the same skin colored bathing suit on. And as we got closer, they were naked, covering themselves in mud.
Ugh, nudity is shameful.
It was a French boating tour. And I was like, ah!
Filled with shame.
You can't ever go snorkeling naked because the fish are going to snack on your ding-dong and your nip-nips.
They're going to crawl all up inside you. Oh. There's so many bad things that can happen. Necrotizing fasciitis, that you just get this bacteria and all of a sudden your skin falls off.
On an episode of Grey's Anatomy, there is this guy who was, I don't know, on vacation in Egypt. He was in the Nile and a tiny little fish swam up his urethra and into his body. And was living inside of his bladder.
It's like a fast track to the male body, just right up the urethra. The worst kind of sounding. Okay, giant isopods. So they look like beetles. They look like giant beetles or insects. They're not. They look like pill bugs. They're not. They're crustaceans. They can grow up to 2.5 feet in length. Picture a giant bug about 2.5 feet.
No.
Like, gentle listener, put your hands about 2.5 feet apart. Now picture your hands holding a giant bug that lives in the water.
No. You know what this looks like? It looks like when you pick up a rock in your backyard and all those like little gray hard-shelled things run out from underneath it.
Yep. Except it's 2.5 feet long. It's awful. So they're really not going to hurt you, but they might scare you to death. They just are found at the bottom of the ocean. They eat on other deep sea animals that are already dead. So they're really minding their own business, but they are frightening to look at.
I wonder if they taste good with butter.
Oh, God.
Right?
We're going to do a couple more.
Shrimp, lobsters, they taste great with butter. You don't like a good lobster roll, Bethany?
I don't know. I would rather not. The lobster, I just don't like that they're boiled alive. It just it seems real painful and awful. This is a real downer of an episode.
No, that's why you get ShopRite to do it for you. So you don't have to do it at home.
But this still means it's done.
Yeah, you're right.
You know, it is done already. okay, look up the gulper eel. G-U-L-P-E-R. The gulper eel. This thing looks like, gentle listener, an eel that you've taped googly eyes to. Two googly eyes. And then you did a really bad job drawing the mouth. You made the mouth too big. Like, you gave it too big of a smile and too big of a mouth. This thing can open its mouth basically like 180 and just gulp up massive amounts of water and thus sea life.
Yeah, it's a very poorly drawn eel.
Yeah.
Like, that's what it is.
Yeah, I don't even know how to well describe it. Just like the mouth is too big and goes too far into the body and then scoops too far down.
It looks like a crab's claw.
Yes.
If you imagine just the claw on its own.
Yeah.
And then somewhere near the top of the claw, there's just a spindly tail hanging off.
Yeah, it's bad news.
And so there's this like underbite, underjaw thing that's not connected to anything else. It's just sort of hanging out there in suspension.
Yeah, it's like scooping up like a bit, like a, you know, like it's digging a trench, but that's the lower jaw. It's bad. It's gross.
What type of human does it take to be really excited about this type of stuff?
I think you have to be the kind of person who isn't afraid of bugs, because so many of these things give me the same creepy crawly feeling.
Uh-huh.
And even,
but one of these things could cure cancer.
That's the thing, Kathleen. You're totally right. It's like that island we talked about off the coast of Brazil.
Yes.
Like, yes. It's covered in snakes, which is incredibly scary, but those snakes can also, like, hold the answer to curing things, and other animals yeah. might too. And, you know,
snakes cure high blood pressure.
I think you're right.
And
that's
so
what it is. Yeah.
We can't discredit any of these weird underground creatures because they could cure multiple sclerosis.
Yep.
You just never know.
You just never know.
But they'll eat your fucking face off.
They
too.
Will. Let's do a couple more.
Okay.
Really quickly. The female black dragonfish looks like the creature from Alien. It has like invisible sharp teeth. Except when you realize how small it is, it's so little. So this terrifying alien-like creature can get up to 16 inches, but like there's a picture of someone holding a little one and it's like fitting in the palm of its hand. It's not even the size of one of his fingers, and it's actually really cute.
It does look exactly like the monster from Aliens.
Yeah. But then you see it
all black.
You see how small it is and you're like, oh, buddy, you're all bark and no bite.
You see... But these teeth look like they would hurt, puncturing like a wasp sting. Wasps are small, but when they get you with that stinger, oh lordy.
Yeah, it's not good.
But it is kind of cute.
It's kind of darling.
Female black dragonfish. Yeah. That'd be a great name for a cat.
Or like a band. Kathleen, look up the goblin shark. Speaking of the creature from Alien. Now this thing, you encounter this under the sea.
Okay.
And what you're not going to see coming is that if it wants to eat you, it's going to stay where it is and it's going to send its mouth towards you. And it's going to happen so fast you don't see it coming. This is the only living member of the family Mitsucurinidae, which is 125 million years old. So it's called a living fossil.
Wow.
The goblin shark ambushes its prey. So it's very buoyant. So it can just sort of drift along in the ocean without having to make much motion. And then when it has some prey in range, the shark's jaws have two pair of ligaments that are like basically like tight rubber bands holding the jaw in, and they're really tense. When it wants to attack its prey, they release, and it essentially shoots its jaw forward, and the tongue and the bottom of the mouth drops open, sucks in water and prey, and then it pulls the mouth back. It's awful. And this happens super fast.
This shark looks like if the cartoon character Butthead were a shark. Doesn't it?
It also looks like a mouth is wearing a hat, like a shark hat.
It is. It does. It looks like a mouth. It looks like a shark is wearing a shark hat.
Yeah. It doesn't match. Like the head doesn't match the teeth because the teeth are completely like the gums are a different color. But yeah, so you can be hanging out nearby and all of a sudden just a mouth comes at you and you didn't see it coming because the shark is over there.
Creatures with extreme speed sometimes are even more terrifying than the ones with gnarly teeth. And this thing has both.
Yeah. The last one. If you find yourself next to a Humboldt squid, just go ahead and die of fright, because these are not the biggest squid out there.
Okay.
But they, if they are feeding, can be aggressive. They can grow
Humboldt squid. Okay.
Up to 8 feet 2 inches in mantle length and weigh up to 100 pounds. They have two tentacles that have 100 to 200 suckers. Each of those suckers have razor sharp teeth. And they have a large beak that they use to crunch bones.
I'm looking at the teeth inside of the suckers.
Yeah.
And it looks fake. It doesn't even look real.
Yeah. Here's another problem, Kathleen.
Yeah.
They are carnivorous.
They eat humans?
Yep. They'll eat anything. They'll eat each other. They've been known to engage in cannibalism.
Oh.
A quarter of squid stomachs analyzed contained remains of other squid.
No, they don't give a crap about anything.
They don't care. So they don't give a fuck.
The humbled squid, because I imagine a really nice squid who doesn't want to take credit for it, its accolades.
It's humbled, not humble. Humboldt. I think it's named after a person named Humboldt. Maybe the first person who was killed by the squid.
I thought it was a humbled squid.
Like it got a dressing down by someone.
Humboldt. Okay, I get it.
Yeah, H-U-M-B-O-L-D-T.
Got humbled. I was like, a humble squid? That's a weird name for such a deadly, terrifying, sadistic creature.
Yeah. No, there's I saw a YouTube video about a guy who got attacked by a Humboldt squid, and it was awful and really bad. And the thing, like, he was wearing, you know, like a diving mask. Yeah. And the Humboldt squid, one of the tentacles slapped onto his mask, and through his visor, he could see the little teeth trying to like chew through the visor. And it was awful, Kathleen. It's something about squids. There's just too many legs. It's like, why do you have so many legs?
I do like a good calamari, but I mean,
Not fun.
That's like when you're in a shark tank and one of the shark is able to bend one of the bars and your life is flashing before your eyes.
I hate it when that happens. I hate it. All right, Kathleen, really quickly, more fun facts to make you scared of the ocean and then we're
okay.
done.
All right.
Okay.
Not going to the beach this summer anymore, so thanks.
No. So just to point out how little we know about the ocean, the largest colossal squid ever discovered was only discovered 14 years ago. So think about what we will discover in the next 14 years.
Oh, my God.
Probably the devil.
The Godzilla under the ocean.
Yeah, yeah.
Or, I don't know, instead of a sea monkey, a sea gorilla. A gorilla that lives under the sea.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Not good. Opposable thumbs all over the place.
What about an aquatic T-Rex?
Kill me, Kathleen. I would die. The thought of something that big... And then just think about Jurassic Park and then just like put water over it.
Yeah, just put water over it. And then that's the worst case scenario. Yeah.
Jellyfish will destroy you all over the place.
Yeah.
Here's the thing about jellyfish. Thanks to their venom and the fact that they are really hard to detect underwater, they've killed 5 times more people than sharks.
What?
So if you see a shark, you should be like, well, I'm scared, but I'm 5 times less scared than I should be all the time because the rest of the time I'm not seeing jellyfish, which means they're probably everywhere.
Ooh, I remember one summer on the Jersey Shore, jellyfish eggs were like just permeating the water and you could go swimming, but when you got out, you were just so unbearably itchy. It was the craziest thing.
You know when that doesn't happen? Pools. Pools.
Yeah, no, you're right.
Here's another scary fact about the ocean. The ocean is a giant graveyard. There are roughly 3 million sunken ships and other vessels on the ocean floor, and a lot of them have bodies inside. That's not even about the bodies in the Hudson River, you know? In 2014...
See, I would be down with deep sea diving if there were a destination like ships and bodies that we were swimming to instead of just exploring.
You would want to find the dead bodies?
Yeah, of course. I mean, there's skeletons by now. There's no more flesh on them.
Well, those are the old ones.
Oh.
But you might find a bloaty, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Like a newy bloaty.
And yeah, the human body that's all bloated with water.
Yeah, okay. Not good.
Yeah.
In 2014, researchers diving in an underwater cave off the coast of Mexico found the remains of a girl estimated to be at least 12,000 years old.
Crazy.
Scientists have taken the time to map out 100% of the moon.
Yeah.
They've only managed to explore roughly 5% of the ocean, according to this source.
Oh, so we know more about the moon than we do about the ocean.
Yeah.
And we go on the ocean every summer.
Yeah.
Okay.
Lastly, Kathleen, the ocean has black holes.
What?
So you know how a black hole in outer space, anything that gets too close to it gets sucked in, you turn into spaghetti and you're never seen again.
Yeah.
So the ocean has eddies, like pools of rapidly spinning water. That means that if you get too close, you cannot escape it. And they're huge. They can often measure up to, like, they say 93 meters in diameter. So that's larger than most of greater LA. Just this giant eddy whirlpool of fucking your shit up because you're never going to get out of it.
I'm looking at pictures of ocean black holes, and I think that there's one off the coast of Belize. Get the F out of here. You know when I get nervous when I start swimming in the ocean? When the water changes color.
That's because the bottom looks different, because the bottom is different.
Because you've hit the shelf, and then it is time to bring it in.
Kathleen, I hate it.
Yeah.
So much. I have chills right now. I don't mean to be dramatic. I really hate it. It's like the worst thing ever.
One of the most terrifying feelings, never have experienced, but just to imagine, is swimming for your life. Right? Like, just imagine swimming for your life. It is, you already know what it feels like. It feels impossible.
So sometimes when I feel like I'm not feeling emotions deeply enough, I will watch videos about people who get stuck in underwater caves and have to figure out how to scuba their way out.
Yeah.
And like, when you're in an underwater cave, you can't just swim up. Because you can't go up that fast. You'll get the bends. You also, like, sometimes can't – sometimes, Kathleen, there are certain caves that have false ceilings. So you think you're going straight up to the top of the open mouth to the ocean. But really, it has, like, a chimney off the other side. And when you get super far up, you hit the ceiling and you realize you went the wrong way. And you have to go all the way back down again and then all the way up. And then you might run out of oxygen. Kathleen, there are so many stupid things like scuba diving, like deep sea diving, that are just – they're just like you're just asking for death.
I can't. You know, in movies when they're like, okay, take a deep breath and we'll come up on the other side. I could never do that because you are never really sure what is on the other side.
Nope. There was a James Cameron produced film that the tagline was like, the only way out is down.
No. I have a lot of respect for people who take boats far out into the ocean and jump off of them. I don't know. I'm sure it would take quite a lot of alcohol for me to jump off one of those things because you can't see the bottom. You don't know what's around you.
Kathleen, I once went to a hotel when I was a kid and the indoor pool of the hotel had this like blue filigree design tiled into it. And that design scared me enough that I didn't go in that pool. It looked enough like a lizard or an eel that I was like, it might come to life when I'm there. Thank you.
It's very chic to have black pools nowadays, at hotels. Very chic. But I don't trust them.
No.
All right, Miss Bethany, while we are talking about the ocean, my topic is also beach related.
Okay, great. Awesome.
I'm talking today about how to be more confident in a bathing suit and stop giving a crap at what others think.
How? It's impossible. Next topic.
This is the first summer where I am plus sized.
Are you plus sized?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
You haven't seen me in a long time.
No, I just see your face and all I see is cheekbones. Those cheekbones are plus sized, I'll tell you that much.
The angles in my face hide a lot of... They're quite good camouflage.
You're beautiful. Whatever size you happen to be, my darling.
And I'm not saying it like it's a bad thing.
No, of course not.
It's just like I'm stating a fact. Last summer, maybe I was teeter-tottering on the edge of being plus-sized. Mm-hmm. And this summer, I am definitely like in the plus-size category. And one thing that I know a lot of humans hate about the summertime is having to be in a bathing suit in front of other people.
Yep.
And how many times have you been on vacation or at the beach or just anywhere where there was someone, and it's so fucked up, but I feel like we've all done it. There's someone bigger than you who's having a blast, who's rocking a swimsuit, and their body isn't quote unquote, you know, standard perfect size. You say to yourself, I wish I had that much confidence.
Yes.
And yes, while it's good to wish more confidence on yourself, it's kind of like that thinking, even though you're looking at someone and thinking how great they look, you're still kind of judging them, right? Mm.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, you're taking them in and you're taking them in, paying attention to them. So your brain is automatically making judgments.
Yes.
Even the fact of you saying like, oh, they're bigger than me.
Exactly.
That's a judgment.
It's a judgment. I wish I had that much confidence. It infers that they're bigger than me, you know, or they don't have the average body. So
can we pause? Sorry. Can we pause for 1 second?
Yeah.
I need to close my window. Someone's yelling outside.
No problem.
Yeah. Give me 1 second. I think it's about Jesus, but I'm not sure. Yes, we love Jesus, but some of us have work to do. Jesus Christ. Literally. I'm sorry.
Oh my God, I am laughing so hard. It's like the power of Christ compels me to shut you up.
He's literally outside my door downstairs screaming with a megaphone about Christ. Okay.
I'm gonna derail my topic for a second. But those people used to come to campus to give the word of the Lord or whatever.
Sure.
And there was a kid in my dorm who used to dress up as Jesus and then skateboard around them.
And they should be excited about it. It's like a visual aid.
He would be doing like ollies on his skateboard.
Look, I wish I loved something enough to scream about it.
Yeah.
You know, on a corner outside someone's house while they're trying to podcast. But also, can we, you know, some of us are on conference calls.
Got it. Okay.
Okay. Sorry.
So back to being more confident in a bathing suit and not giving a crap about what others think.
Yes.
There is a term that we all need to absolutely remove from our vernacular.
Okay.
And it goes back to looking at someone and saying, oh, I wish I had as much confidence as them. Bikini ready.
Oh, gosh.
Summer body. Swimsuit ready.
Yeah. Yep. Beach body ready.
Beach body. Mm-hmm. We need to shut it down. We need to remove it from our vernacular because once you get the idea that there's a certain standard of what a body should look like mm-hmm. in a swimsuit, you're already setting yourself up for failure.
That's a great point. And there's so much toxic stuff still. Like if you look at the magazines and when we were growing up looking at the magazines and it's like in the middle of winter where you're, you know, comfy and you're comfortable because you're bundled up. It's like your summer body is made right now. And it's just, it's so awful. It's so toxic and you don't realize how damaging it can be.
Starts in the kitchen and it's, you know, I like the weather as it is now because it's warm, but you still need a little jacket. And I was thinking to myself the other day, like, oh, I am so not looking forward to when it's really blazing hot outside and I have to show my arms.
Yeah. Why do you think I hate summer?
And I'm sitting there and I'm like, oh, you know, but where would I be in a situation where I was showing my arms? And then I imagine myself like at an outdoor brunch with my friends or in my, you know, in my friend's backyard at a barbecue or taking a walk around the block and feeling the warm sunshine on my arms. And it's when I start to think about the ways that I can enjoy the weather and my life and all the things that my body does for me instead of just the way my body looks in a particular situation is when I start to be able to give less craps about what other people think.
That's really wonderful. I think we all forget about that. And I saw something, I wish that I could remember who said it, but I saw something someone reposted from TikTok and it was this guy saying, oh, you don't like how your body looks now? Your body got you through an international pandemic. Your body kept you alive. Your body kept you strong. Your body got you here. So like maybe lay off beating yourself up a little bit because your body is the reason that you made it.
Exactly. And if you are really nervous about going to the beach this summer and you don't want to be in a swimsuit in front of other people, there are steps you can take, and I'm going to get into it, you know, to make yourself more comfortable. But just think about sitting in the sand with your toes. You get to dig your toes into that wet sand, and you get to eat an ice cream, and you get to lay on the blanket and feel the warmth on your skin, and you get to go swimming, and you get to read a really good book, like, and you get to eat pretzels because pretzels just taste better on the beach.
They do. They do. And the good thing about all of us hating our bodies is that everyone else on the beach also hates their body and they're just as insecure as you are.
Yeah.
So they're not thinking about you. They're thinking about themselves. So no one's looking at you.
And if you open up social media, if you open up Instagram on your phone and all you follow are really fit, physicality obsessed people, it's time for you to change that.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you why. Because when you start seeing bathing suits and clothing on a body that looks more similar to yours, you will be inspired.
Yeah. Yeah.
Some of the accounts that I love, Noelle Downing, love her, Fitty She's Britty, great. Jasmine J. And I'm going to put all of these in our show notes so you can follow these accounts too. Body is Panda, Katie Storino. When I see these women who are body positive and who are not stick thin and who are not just a totally completely consumed with having the best body they possibly can. And I see them wearing bathing suits and wearing short shorts and I'm like, oh, and you get inspired because they put clothing together in a way that you're like, oh, I never thought about it that way before.
Yeah, completely.
So here's something you can do to feel more confident at the beach this summer. Buy your bathing suit and wear it around the house.
Ooh, that's a good idea. That's a good idea.
Because you break it in.
Yeah, and you don't feel naked the first time you wear it.
Wear it around the house, do some chores, do some laundry, like sit and watch TV in your swimsuit. It should be comfortable, you know, and there's always like a break-in period where, you know, you want to like work in the straps to the perfect spot and stuff like that. Sure. But then, you know, ahead of time where maybe it rubs a little and you need to put a little anti-friction balm.
Yeah, totally. That's right. Kathleen, that's such a good idea. It's like we break in our shoes. Why don't we break in our swimsuits?
I wish I could take credit for that, but that comes from the everygirl.com. They say this sounds a little weird, but it has helped me a ton. Put on your swimsuit, hang around your house, do some laundry, watch some Netflix, cook some dinner, and then just get comfortable. If your bottoms are too tight or if your top is too big, you're going to find out ahead of time so you can get the right size and be the most confident that you can possibly be.
Great recommendation. Great recommendation. I love that.
I love the product Mega Babe, their thigh rescue, which is like their anti-friction stick.
Yeah.
I rub that on my bikini line. I rub it under my arms. I rub it under my straps before I go to the beach. So nothing starts rubbing in a way that's hurting. So it's like a non-issue. I don't even have to think about it.
So you're not, because that's going to pull you back into your body. If you're aware of some pain or some irritation, now you're thinking about your body again.
Yeah. And look for a swimsuit with a thicker fabric.
Yes.
Do not buy your swimsuit on Amazon.
No.
Don't do it. I've done it. The fabric is so cheap and so chintzy. It looks worse. You could go naked and it would be a better fit than wearing
it. You might
as
well go naked because once you get wet, that's what it's going to look like.
Bethany, do you have a go-to bathing suit?
I do. And it's what I recommend for anybody who, especially in a time like this where people are like, I don't recognize my body right now. I've put on weight and I don't know what to do.
Yeah.
ModCloth, I'm going to double check that it's still out there. ModCloth has this line of vintage pinup inspired swimsuits.
Oh, you and I have the same one.
We sure do.
Yep.
They are that low leg, so it like cuts across the top of your thigh, a halter neckline that's a bow. Mine is red with white polka dots. There's a built-in bra and there's ruching on the side. So it like pulls your waistline in and it just is, I would wear that swimsuit walking down the street. I feel so confident in it.
Yeah.
Let me see.
It is a great suit.
I'm going to vintage inspired swim. I'm checking the website right now to make sure it's still around. At our old job, I had to have a cardboard cutout made of me for something.
That's right.
That was the swimsuit I wore in the cardboard cutout. Because I'm like, I feel confident enough in this swimsuit.
That's right. They wanted you in a swimsuit, in a cardboard cutout. Yeah. And that would have been my drop dead situation.
Oh, when they first sent me the mock-up, it wasn't airbrushed in any way. So there was like a tan line where my shorts were. I was like, you guys have, if we're going to blow this up, you guys have got to do girl a favor. I'm going to put some links of like similar swimsuits.
Yes. So some of my favorite places to shop for swimsuits, somersault.com. Athleta has some great athletic swimsuits that hold you in.
Nice.
ModCloth, like we talked about, Bowdoin, Albion Fit. And my favorite is, I have it right behind me. This is the one I'm wearing this summer, all summer.
Cute. That's really cute. It's like a navy stripe, white with navy stripes.
Yes. It is from Target. And it's a brand that's only carried at Target called Shade and Store. I feel like swimsuits in the past where I feel like my boobies are flopping and it doesn't quite fit right and I'm always pulling to adjust it. Those are the times when I'm most miserable at the pool or the beach because the fit of my swimsuit was poor.
Yeah. Yeah. And when you pull it up, then it makes the bottom come up too far. So you pull it down and then the top comes down too far and you're just like, nothing feels good. And now you're not having fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there are affordable options out there, but instead of buying 10 swimsuits this summer, like maybe buy one or two and buy really nice, high quality, thick fabric swimsuits.
Yes. And if you're someone who wears like shorts, you know, like board shorts or whatever, swim trunks, like swim trunks and wear a t-shirt. Wear a t-shirt that goes with the swim trunks that like matches or coordinates or whatever and looks good. You're going to feel so much more confident in what you're wearing.
And I will say this. I used to exclusively wear only the bottoms, the bikini bottoms that were shorts. Mm-hmm. And then I had a roommate in college and she was like, it's cutting you off.
Oh.
And she put me, she lent me her bottom, which was like a little bit of a higher cut up my leg. And we took before and after photos. And she was 100% right. To look better and feel better and be more comfortable, I just had to show more skin. And it's, that's not an equation that you would typically think of.
And there are swimsuits too. Like I'm back on Mod Cloth and they're not sponsoring this, but it's just where I happen to be.
Yeah.
Like you can get strategic cutouts where it's like the sides are cut out. So you're maybe just showing at the top of your waist or like around your boobs is cut out, but everything else is covered. And you're right. Sometimes a high leg actually pulls everything up and makes everything look elongated in a way that's going to make you really confident. Yeah.
Like if you're someone, and I'm not, listen, I'm not judging. If a skirted swimsuit makes you feel comfortable, by all means, but maybe challenge yourself this summer to ditch the skirt. Because you know what feels really good? When you're laying on your stomach on the beach and you get a little sun on your bum, it feels...
Although I will say...
It feels so
There is a swim dress right here that is... It looks like a tennis dress. It's darling.
Yeah.
It's real cute.
Yeah. I've seen it. And it looks great. You know what my favorite cover-up is? And it's cheap as hell. And I think it looks so chic. To wear a bathing suit and then get a men's... white button down, just a cheapie from Target or Old Navy in like an extra, 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 extra large. You throw that over as your cover up. You roll up the sleeves. So then you have coverage on your shoulders in case your shoulders are burned, but you're not too hot. And just standing, think of a beautiful human standing at the water's edge with this flowing white fabric around them and big sunglasses and a hat and a swimsuit, and they're just enjoying life.
Maybe you're letting one of the shoulders fall off a little bit, so you're showing a little skin and it's coming down on one arm.
Yeah.
And you have your sunglasses and then you pull your sunglasses up and the wind is hitting you.
Yeah.
A men's big white shirt is just the freaking best thing ever.
It is the best cover-up because you never have to pull anything over your head, because I don't like that motion where you've put your arms in the air because then you risk a boob popping
out. I don't want to see my boob pop out.
I don't. And another thing that helps me have a better time at the beach instead of being so self-conscious is when I make sure that I eat a little something so I don't starve myself before going and I don't show up at the beach and I'm starving and I can't even enjoy myself because I restricted and I didn't allow my body to have food because I wanted to look better in a bathing suit.
Yeah. And it's not going to make a sizable difference anyway. Like it's it's not worth it.
I love how the more athletic swimsuits are popular.
Yeah. It's like, I feel like people are being more and more open about what to wear on a beach.
And also another really good tip is tell your friends how you're feeling. Be really honest with your friends and your family or whoever you're hanging out with at the pool or the beach. And you say, listen, this is something that I'm struggling with right now because I have a lot of friends who will start talking badly about themselves.
Yeah.
And if you start talking badly about yourself, have a friend there who's going to shut it down.
Yeah. And also if your friend hears anyone else talking badly about themselves, shut it down because it's not good for you to hear.
Shut it down. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Have someone who's on your side. Because when you just let go and frolic in the ocean spray and eat those pretzels under the umbrella, covered head to toe if you are Bethany.
Parasol. Don't forget the parasol. And sometimes a top hat.
I'm smiling right now because I'm thinking about having the best day on the beach when just yesterday I was really grumpy about having to show my arms this summer.
Yeah, it's I think a lot of us have some work to do, but I love this idea, Kathleen, that the beach and what you wear to the beach doesn't have to be something that just happens to you.
Yeah.
You can be very intentional and you can curate a look so that you look pulled together, you feel comfortable in everything you're wearing, and you don't feel like crap, what am I going to do? I'm flustered. I don't feel good. Yeah. Instead, you know, I have this awesome one piece that like sucks me in and holds me. I'm comfortable in it. I can move around in it.
Yeah.
I have this awesome cover up that I can't wait to wear. I have these great sunglasses. I have this parasol. I have a giant fan that our listener Frankie gave me. Like all of these things.
I have a great beach bag.
Yep.
And this is another thing that I always find helpful. Slip on sandals at the beach. You don't want to have to tie anything up once you're trying to get sand off. It is so much more helpful to be able to just slip your feet in. I know that sounds crazy, but it's something that has thrown me off in the past, especially when you have to bend over and then do those straps and stuff.
Oh, it's a good point. You don't want to. Yeah. It's like one more thing to make you insecure.
Exactly. It's like plan ahead of time and then focus on having the most fun ever.
That Kathleen, this is such good advice. This is such good advice.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it. Because you know, when it really comes down to it, a swimsuit is just a piece of cloth. It's a piece of material.
Yeah.
Whether it's one piece or two piece or three piece, I don't know. Do they make three piece swimsuits?
Oh, a bikini with a cummerbund? Absolutely.
I'm sure they do.
You know I'd wear that too.
Do not give power. Do not let your happiness lie in a piece of cloth.
Yeah.
It's just textiles.
We need to come out with a line of shirts that says it's just textiles.
It's just textiles. Do not give power to textiles. Bethany, do you like sharing your food plate with other people?
No. No.
So if I were having dinner with you and I was like, oh, can I just have a little taste of that? And before you could even answer, I put my fork on your plate. No. Would that make you angry?
So angry. It's my pet peeve. I hate it. It's so disrespectful.
Really?
I hate it. At least ask first. And like if I'm trying to irritate someone and be just like a brat, I'll do that because I know it's like such a disrespectful thing to do. Are you a fan of that, Kathleen?
I do it to Neil all the time.
Do you do it to piss him off or do you do it because you truly just want his food?
I do it because I truly want his food. I do it also when I'm taking sips of his beers, but I'm always like, hey, can I have a sip of your beer? And it's already in my mouth before he even has a chance to answer me.
Yeah, like when you have a sibling and you're like, hey, can I borrow your sweater? And they say yes and you walk out already wearing it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I already put it on my body. Can I borrow this?
Hey, it looks really good on me. I know this because I'm wearing it.
So I'm asking you this because there's this really sort of interesting, crazy trend. There's this viral video of this woman. She has this beautiful white like countertop. It looks like marbled quartz. And she takes a huge jar of Prego, opens it up, spreads it across the whole thing. And then she mixes in packages of spaghetti and meatballs. And she says that it's the best way to serve spaghetti and meatballs to a large crowd.
Here's what's really funny about it. Like, I'm assuming she washed the countertop and it's all very clean.
Yeah.
In theory, I don't have an issue with this, but I was shocked at how upset I was and how gross it felt to me. Like, just seeing it visually was very alarming for some reason.
Yes.
It's...
First of all, I think about this a lot with certain items. You wash a countertop, but you're washing it with probably a spray.
Yeah.
And there are chemicals in that spray. Unless you wipe the whole thing down with water multiple times, you're going to be eating chemicals.
Yeah, I'm guessing she used like soap and water. I'm hoping she used soap and water and washed it really well. I'm assuming.
People are outraged. That I mean, it's really, what would you do if you walked into a friend's house and the meal that your friend was serving that night was just spread across the kitchen countertop, not on any dishes?
No, because I don't know how you cleaned your countertop. Because I know some people that think just wiping it down with a napkin is enough. And I don't know if you're one of those people.
No, it's not enough.
And there is just something really upsetting about seeing all this food willy-nilly on a countertop. Some people are saying, like someone said on Twitter, I'm tired of people wasting food like this for social media attention, which it feels like she's doing. It's a ton of, so much food.
I've seen people do this with nachos. They put tin foil, they cover the table or the countertop in tin foil, and then they just dump a bunch of chips and pour cheese all over the whole thing, and everybody just sits there eating.
That feels better to me even because it's some sort of confined border that yeah. is food grade. And like, I know that feels better to me than just like, hey, I have a table because there's meat on there. And like, the you know that the sauce is going to spill onto the floor at some point. I just.
Countertops are porous.
Yeah, especially marble ones. It looks like it's marble.
She's going to stain her countertop.
Ugh.
And then also countertops have to be refinished every few years. So there's a layer of like chemical coating, you know, to keep it clean yeah. and nice. And if you put hot food directly on, I don't get it.
Mary Lemon on Twitter said, someone on TikTok said this might be a mess fetish of some kind because of the male gaze and the sultry voice. And honestly, my life hasn't been the same since.
Huh.
I don't like it when things that I don't know are sexual are shown to me.
Is eating spaghetti sexual?
There's shows about someone, like people in relationships where one person is very, 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 very overweight and the other yeah. person is very thin.
Yeah.
And I think those are privately like, yeah, like feeder gainer relationships.
Or like, you know, when someone likes to dress as a baby.
Yeah. Like those are, it's a thing. It's like a fetish, but it's on TLC as just like, look at this couple being weird.
That would be really strange though, if this spaghetti on the countertop, oh my God, maybe somebody lays in the spaghetti and the sauce and the cheese and the meatballs and then their sexual partner like does them and eats spaghetti dinner around them while they're doing them.
You know what? You do whatever makes you happy. You know how I feel about food. I'm troubled. I don't know. It feels like a lot. I don't know. Clean your countertops. Just make sure your shit's clean.
Oh my God. A sex video with nachos.
Well, you remember, I remember one of those awful Sex and the City movies where Samantha like covers herself in warm sushi. Yes. And then her actor boyfriend just doesn't come home and she yeah. starts eating the warm sushi on her breasts.
I never want to eat food off of anybody, ever.
I'm okay. Yeah, you don't have to do that. Don't worry about it. I'll eat off a plate. I'm happy with the plate.
Like, I know some people like to put whipped cream on nipples and lick it off and like, I'll have it on my hot fudge sundae.
Yeah.
Thank you.
No, I'm good. Thank you very much. Kathleen, tell me about the new Venmo situation going on right now.
Oh, well, did you hear about it? Our president, his secret Venmo was hacked.
Was it his secret Venmo or was it his name? Or was it like, you know, Ricky L. Secret on Venmo?
Apparently there are privacy settings that we should all be checking. BuzzFeed News did an investigation. They were the ones who kind of broke this open. And they found his account by just figuring out like who is in his posse. Mm-hmm. And then finding him. And wow. Apparently there is a settings privacy that you need to change so people can't go through your friends.
What's the setting?
I'll put the link in our show notes. But if you go into settings privacy, then you need to do private visible only to sender receipt only.
Oh, gotcha.
I sent money to a friend a couple weeks ago and out of nowhere, I get a notification. Someone has commented on blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, who's commenting on this money that I sent to my friend? And it was an ex-boyfriend of mine.
What did he comment?
He was like, glad to see that you guys are still friends.
I don't understand why you're going through Venmo transactions
yeah.
and looking at what people are doing.
I almost make everything private unless yeah. I'm trying to embarrass a friend where I'm like, thanks for the wine and the BJs.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'll keep it public if it shows that I'm actively doing things.
Yeah.
So that people know that I'm actively doing things. But like, you know, I pay my therapist through Venmo. So that gets made private.
I had a friend the other day who was like, my ex-boyfriend, I checked up on his Venmo and I know he's not hanging out with that new girl anymore because they stopped paying each other.
It's so weird.
Yeah.
It's bizarre what you can learn. I don't remember. I mean, I know that I've been so bored in the past that I've scrolled through Venmo just to see what's going on. But that was a while ago. And I'm proud to say I'm almost positive it didn't happen during the pandemic. So I feel like I did the pandemic quarantine right if I never ended up scrolling through Venmo.
There are people who don't trust Venmo. And I don't know if they're right or wrong, but it really annoys me when someone's like, oh, I'm sorry, I don't have Venmo.
Mm-hmm.
What? Why?
It's just because it's the scary thing that connects directly to your bank and then just like randomly sends money to people. It's a little bit scary.
Yeah, but how are we supposed to exchange money without, you know, cashlessly exchange money?
You know what I think? I think yeah. we should go back to checks.
No.
You could write a check with no intention of having that money be behind the check. But like if they didn't cash it in time, you got away with it. And then the grocery store was like, oh, there was this check bounce. There was no money behind this, but yes. You already have the food.
I remember my mom paying with a check at the grocery store.
Yep. When I worked at a grocery store in high school, there was this old woman who came through, and I did the math because she gave me her driver's license, and she was like 94. She couldn't see to write a check out. I had to write it out for her, which was something we were authorized to do at the grocery store.
Oh my God.
But then I looked at her driver's license, and she had just had it extended for 8 years. And so she was 94, let's say. She was going to be able to drive until she was over 100, and yet she was not able to see well enough to write out a check. And that's when I knew that we were all effed.
I'm sorry, but I have a strong opinion that at the age of 75 and every 4 years subsequently, you should have to retake a driver's test.
I know that it, you know, being able to drive gives freedom. Yes, and
gives freedom.
And a sense of like being able to take care of themselves for people who are getting up there in age.
Yeah.
But also like you have to be safe for yourself.
Yes.
You might not be safe.
I was all up in arms this weekend because geriatric millennial was trending on Twitter. And I was like, fuck these Gen Zers and these younger millennials. Yes, I'm a geriatric millennial, but can we not use that phrase? And here I am like, it's ageism. Maybe me saying that.
I think 75 is a little young, but I do think it's like if your vision is actively going and your reaction time is getting longer and longer.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like it's a safety thing for you and other people, and you might be great. And if you're a great driver, then you're a great driver. But, you know, I don't know if it's ageist as much as it's just like you biologically things are changing. So maybe we should just make sure you're still safe to like operate a giant machine.
Can we do a hard left for a second?
Sure. What's going on?
Can we talk about puff sleeves?
Yeah, you're wearing them right now, I see.
I love puff sleeves. What are your feelings?
You know what? I feel very pro puff sleeve. Here's why.
Okay.
If you can pull them off and not everyone can, go for the puff sleeve.
Would you wear a puff sleeve?
I can't really wear a puff sleeve.
Why?
Because I have very broad shoulders, and so it only makes my broad shoulders broader.
I don't know about that.
But you look great in a puff sleeve.
Thank you. I like it because it covers up my arm cellulite.
It's a great thing. I think anyone should be able to wear whatever the hell they want. I really just like high-waisted bell bottoms. That's all I would wear if I could.
High-waisted bell bottoms look amazing on you because you've got legs that go from here to Canada.
I'm very tall. It's one of the few benefits of having a long torso too, is you can like wear high-waisted things and still have ample room for a shirt.
Did you ever consider becoming a swimmer with your long torso, long legs?
No.
You should maybe.
I was not a good swimmer.
You should take it up.
I don't like competition.
Yeah, you could compete in the geriatric millennial Olympics.
Kathleen, what did you learn this week?
I learned that washing your face, if you have acne that's not going away, or like I've always had like some texture bumps on my cheeks.
Yeah.
I started regularly washing my face with Selsun Blue.
Is that dandruff Selsun shampoo?
Blue, the dandruff shampoo. And that is because some of my acne is fungal and not hormonal. And the dandruff shampoo gets rid of it.
How do you know if your acne is fungal or not?
If it's not going away with regular acne treatments like salicylic acid and stuff like that, it might be, especially small bumps that are hard to make go away. A lot of times that's fungal. If you look it up, it's crazy what people, they started using fungal creams and stuff on their face, and all of a sudden they have the best skin of their life.
Whoa. Okay, right on. And it's working?
I do a regular face wash, and then I rub in my Selsun Blue, and my skin, my cheeks where I have issues with texture, they've never been smoother.
That's so okay. That's great to know. I know I have a bunch of milia, which I think comes from like over moisturizing.
Oh. Does it?
Yeah, I think that's what I've heard. But it also might be, what's the word I'm looking for?
Fungal.
Fungal.
Get yourself some Selsun Blue. Rub it all over your body.
Just in case. Just for whatever might be growing there.
For whatever ails you. Bethany, what did you learn this week?
I learned that if you're renting a car, make sure you read the rental agreement. I have a Zipcar membership. And I pay a monthly fee. And what I did not realize is that monthly fee is for a certain amount of miles. And we hit the limit of those amount of miles at 1:30 on Saturday, but we didn't get home till 10. And the bill was significantly higher than I thought it was going to be.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
So Dennis doesn't drive.
Correct.
Do you ever, when you take day trips like this, do you ever find yourself like just being slightly annoyed that he can't take over the driving and do maybe like the trip home?
Not at all. I hate sitting in a car and just being a passenger. I get really car sick and I also get super bored. So if I'm not driving, I don't want to be there. So, and so the fact that Dennis doesn't drive is kind of a perfect relationship because I don't ever want to not be the one driving.
See, I get sometimes because I have friends who don't drive. Well, I live, you know, living in the city, not a lot of people have cars.
Yeah.
But I have friends who don't, who also don't have their driver's licenses. And sometimes I'm like annoyed that if we want to go anywhere, I'm always the one that has to drive.
Yeah. I feel like that's different because it involves potentially picking people up and then dropping everyone off. Like when we were filming Lonely Hearts a couple of years ago, I was driving everyone out to the location on Staten Island.
Yeah.
And that was annoying because we were doing overnight shoots. And so dropping people, we didn't want to just drop people off at a subway station at 5 a.m. It just didn't feel responsible.
Yeah.
So I was driving everyone to their individual borough to get home. And so even though we maybe wrapped at 4, I didn't get home till maybe 7 a.m.
It's the responsibility being the driver of your friend group.
Yeah, it's not fun. And plus then you're, if you want to be drinking, you can't be drinking.
Exactly. That is why Uber is an amazing invention. Also, if you are not the driver and your friend is always the driver, get your friend a little something nice, like a little gift card for some gas or something.
Yes, yes. If you're not offering for, you know, gas money or whatever, you do, maybe it's time. Maybe it's time to offer gas money.
Bethany, where can people find you on social media?
You can find me on Twitter at Radio Bethany and on Instagram at Ms. Bethany Watson. What about you, Kathleen?
At Webgirl Kathleen on everything.
You can also find our show on social media. We are on Twitter at Acquired Podcast.
On Instagram, Acquired Taste Podcast.
On Facebook, just search Acquired Taste Podcast. Also search for our group, the fan group. Amazing people there. They're just wonderful new friends.
Oh, we have an email address. Mm-hmm. That's anacquiredtastepodcast@gmail.com.
We also have a P.O. Box, an Acquired Taste Podcast, P.O. Box 1717, Hoboken, New Jersey, 07030.
And we have a Patreon where we do live shows twice a month. It's really fun. We can take callers, a.k.a. video callers. When's our next show, Bethany?
That's a great question, Kathleen. When is our next show? Have we scheduled it?
No, we haven't. Maybe we should do that right now.
The date for our next live show is Thursday, May 27th. You can also give us a phone call. We play our voicemails at the end of every episode. Give us a call at 917-994-0353.
Is that it? Oh, no. Hey, wherever you listen to this podcast, please rate, review, and subscribe. 5 stars is the best. Helps us move up in the ranks.
Our show is edited by Charlotte Gartenberg. You can follow her on Twitter at Chargar and on Instagram, lit_fuck.
And all of our videos and social media are edited by Dennis Callow, and you can follow him at Dennis, C-A-H-L-O.
This is your weekly reminder to take a deep breath.
Bethany, I think we need, I just need 2 deep breaths this week. Can you do another one?
Go for it. Take another deep breath.
Okay. Thank you.
And taste buds, here's what you had to say this week.
Hello, ladies. This is Nikki from Milwaukee, currently sitting on my couch watching Hallmark Channel. And I decided to make a list of my unpopular opinions and save it to my phone. And it's proving to be rather therapeutic, but I'm also learning that I'm kind of a judgmental hoe. So I need to get a few of these off my chest. Okay. Unpopular opinion number 1 of about like 25. Honeycrisp apples really aren't that great. There are so many better other choices like Pink Lady and Macintosh. Unpopular opinion number 2, Breaking Bad. Like what, why is it? Why do people like it? I don't get it. I was bored. And unpopular opinion number 3. I can't stand Nick from New Girl. I know a lot of people like him, but he's literally my worst nightmare in a person. Okay, I feel a lot better. I hope you ladies are doing well, and I'm very sorry to anyone I offended with my unpopular opinions. Bye!
Hey, Kathleen. Hey, Bethany. This is Megan from Georgia. I am just catching up on podcast, and yes, I'm really behind listening to the 300th episode, and y'all were talking about how the Paul O'Sullivan's creating a band because they all have the same name, and Kathleen talked about how she was starting to friend people on Facebook with her same name. Well, I have done the same myself once or twice, and actually I have a very unique last name, Solstice. And not very prominent if you're not in the Amish community, but I found a woman who has the same exact name as me, who is actually doing the same exact job that I was looking to get into, to switch career transition, all that kind of stuff. To me, it was almost kind of like a sign from the universe of like, hey, you could do this too, because you're already doing it.
Hi, Kathleen. Hi, Bethany. This is your British friend from New Jersey, Marie. I was calling to see if I can recruit the help of you and all of the taste buds who listen to your show. For work, I often have to call people's cell phones, and I am increasingly enraged by the time I must spend every day listening to people's voicemail messages, which cell-splain, leave a voicemail message. You know what I'm talking about when they say, please leave a message after the tone, and I'll get back to you as soon as I can. And you just think, I totally understand how voicemail works. I feel like we could all save everybody time and energy every day if we could just make our voicemail messages say, hey, it's Kate, this is my voicemail. And then they could just crack on with leaving the message. And we wouldn't have to do this. It's 2021, not 1981. We all know what voicemail is and how to do it. So we could stop with the long explanations or the apologies for why you're not there or the religious feelings. Please stop. Just make it short and sweet. If the taste buds could start doing that, then I feel like eventually we could spread this across the country and we would all feel so much better for it. So that was just the thing I was going to ask you guys. Thanks very much for the podcast. And it was nice speaking to you. Bye-bye.
Hi, friends. This is Katie from Connecticut. I'm just calling to say congratulations to Kathleen for buying her condo. Owning your own home is the best feeling in the world. I just wanted to say that I think that she should make a TikTok on how she decorates her home and everything that goes into it. She has like the best style, and I think that it would just be a really great idea to get some inspo going on for other homeowners, especially me. And that's it. So hopefully you'll take my idea and we can see that new beautiful home of yours. Congratulations again. Love you guys. Have a great week.
There's some buds here. We just got together. I'm going to leave a voicemail. Here is Neil, Nicole, Amanda, Carol, Rose, I was in there, oh, Brianne, Jasmine. We just wanted to say hi.
Sylvia!
Oh, yeah, my name is Sylvia. Say hi, everybody.
New York City.
I don't know where we are. I'm not from the city, so we're in the city, I guess. I'm not from the city, but we're in New York City. Health kitchen, and yeah, we just have some like beers and shit like that. So yeah,
love you. Okay, bye.
We love you. Bye.